Hello, and welcome to Revolutionize Your Love Life. Do you want to know more about love relationships, what makes them work, how to create the one of your best dreams? Do you want to be in a really healthy, juicy love relationship? In these podcasts, we will give ideas and practical advice to light your way. Whether you're looking for a love partner, already in a relationship you wish could be better, or leaving one that has run its course, there will be something to inspire, empower, and support you. Revolutionize Your Love Life is a fortnightly podcast where you will access the knowledge and wisdom of love experts and relationship coaches from across the world to help you find true fulfillment in love. I am your host, Heather Garbutt. Welcome.
How do you know you are in a toxic relationship? In this podcast, we'll be exploring toxicity, narcissism, and how you can recognize toxic behavior.
This is part of our series looking at the qualities of healthy and unhealthy relationships. I am Heather Garbutt.
And I am Eva Andreessen.
And together we are relationship coaches.
So, do you feel unhappy in your relationship, or do you even feel that you suffer? It may be the first sign of toxic relationship, because it's actually not normal to feel fear, obligation, or guilt in relationships. Usually we call it fog, that we experience fog, like that we can't even breathe because we feel that fear, obligation, or guilt. And it's really like not normal to have the fear that you can't say something or that you are worried what your partner will react on your request, for example.
Yes, and the fog is also what we experience in our minds, where we can't think what is reasonable and what isn't reasonable, if our needs are too much. You know, there are basic needs that we all need to have fulfilled, and they are for things like respect, love, being listened to, having our needs recognized, having our good qualities recognized, having our requests recognized. And if those things aren't present, and with a willingness to resolve conflict and to have several conversations if we need to, what have we got? A toxic relationship.
Yes, and sometimes we doubt that we can have this. That is it really possible to have something what you just said in our relationship? Because sometimes when we didn't have it as kids, we don't expect to have it in our relationships. Because if we experience that fear already when we were little, or that not really safety, or we were feeling guilty of because of our parents were angry all the time, we just take this into our relationships. And actually, we don't know what is healthy and normal, because we experience a lot of punishments already and a lot of criticism in our childhood. So it's the thing that the toxic relationship is not only what we experience with our partners in love relationship, but we also we can experience with our parents, with our siblings, even with the boss or colleague in your workplace. So there is you can experience it through all the society. Actually, through the research, I heard that there is about 30% toxic in our society.
Yeah. And there's a spectrum of that. I suppose in some ways you could see it's called bullying. And that can be literal in terms of physical harm. It can be emotional in terms of manipulative behavior, manipulating your feelings against you. And that can have a mental effect as well. It can be financial. It can be restricting your freedoms. There are lots of ways it can be expressed.
Yeah. And I would say that the hardest experience what we have in relationship is when your partner or even your colleague or sibling is narcissist. Because this is really a relationship about power and control. You know, and it's so confusing because narcissistic people are usually very charming. They are at the beginning of the relationship, you experience love bombing. You experience like, oh, this is my soulmate. He is so nice to me. He's like so great person. And suddenly it changed to nightmare or hell. And you are confused. What is wrong? Usually people say, oh, what is wrong with me? He changed. I need to be better. I need to prove that I'm good, that he's good again. And usually we take responsibility, because usually narcissistic people actually choose the people with high empathy. Do you agree, Heather?
Yes, absolutely. They'll choose people who are empathic. No, I count myself amongst that, because we're likely to want to please. We want to take care of. We really feel this for the other person, and we want them to feel good. And we're likely as well to be potentially a little bit sacrificial. So we are ripe for the picking for a narcissist. And I loved what you said, Eva, about them really knowing who we are and how to choose us.
Yeah, they usually choose very, very good people. But I could see through my experience with my clients that they know who to choose, because they need someone who is really good, because they want them as their source of their like improvement, or like they like need somebody who can really do a lot of stuff for them. So they need very strong and reliable person. But actually, because of that effect of the narcissism, usually that people can't stay so like in their self, in their true self, because they experience later on a lot of gaslighting or punishment or humiliation or high criticism, because it's what narcissists do. And we take it personally. We take responsibility for a lot of stuff as empath people. Actually, we got very down, and we start to completely doubt ourselves. Even if the people were very confident at the beginning, they start to completely doubt ourselves. And if I can add one more thing, it's like, I can see how it's like dangerous, really dangerous, for our health. Because I know so many people, they ended up with depressions, very back pains, cancer, or other other illnesses or pain, physical pain.
The illnesses of huge stress.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the narcissist is a very insecure person. So they are at all costs going to protect themselves, because if they feel in any way shamed or blamed or held to be responsible for their behavior, they come out really defensive and attacking. They can't bear, they would collapse and cave in if they took some responsibility and admitted any sort of being at fault. So when they come out gaslighting or punishing, it's from a fight or flight mechanism, which is so powerful for an empath to receive. Just huge, just huge.
Yeah.
And the beginning piece where they're love bombing you, they're very highly skilled at listening and understanding what it is that you want from a relationship. And they can manage that for maybe 6 months or so.
Even longer sometimes, I heard, a couple of years. Yeah, because so it's so dangerous and invisible. But there are actually red flags, Heather, yeah? We can notice.
Yeah, they are.
Would you like to name them, let's say, about them?
Some red flags.
Which we can notice already from the beginning, but they are so invisible if we don't know about it, yeah?
Yes. I would look for if they walk their talk with other people. Like for me, I always look at how they treat waiting staff at tables, how they negotiate if something is wrong, if they go into a real victim position and come out aggressively. I mean, I know a lot of people have these qualities when they're insecure, but the quality of it is sort of like ruthless, absolute determination. And you'll notice, even in the early stages, you'll notice how they treat other people and be a bit, what? You know, did they really do that? But you'll probably suppress it because they're being so charming to you. I think there's even a book called Charming Men Make Dangerous Lovers, and Charming Women Do as well.
Yes. Yeah. And also sometimes what they do, that they already start to control, manipulate you right from the beginning, like, oh, maybe don't take this dress, that other dress are better. Or we go to this restaurant, this is the best restaurant. They always disagree with what you say, but in nicely like way, and suddenly realize that everything is according what they want. Yeah, so that is also very subtle. It's sometimes like because they do it in that bombarding way, so that you can't see that it's something like control already from the right beginning.
And there's the steady peeling you away from any other people in your life that will love and support you. So they'll go into a victim state when, I don't know, if you're out with your girlfriends, they'll come and text you all evening saying, how could you leave me? How could you go out? And then other times it will be, are you really putting your mum and dad before me, before us? If it's a real relationship, you know, you wouldn't be doing that. So it's that subtle stuff, and none too subtle. If you see it at the beginning, it's like a sledgehammer to crack a walnut. But by the time you've had the water dripped on a stone in that nice way that you're talking about, oh, not that dress, this dress, then you're like the proverbial frog being boiled in water. You don't notice when it's cold, and you're dead by the time it's really heated up.
I like this expression. Yeah, it's so true, actually, in this case, because it's so long invisible that actually like people are in the end like boiling themselves in hot water, but at the beginning they warm it up very slowly. Yeah, another thing, it's like change your mind in the first days, or say no to stuff, or say what you don't like about what they said, for example. You will always see the reaction. And sometimes what we do at the beginning of relationships, we ignore these red flags because we like say to ourselves, oh, there are so other good qualities. Yeah, but really we observe what is happening. How do you feel around it? Because I think that it's so important to really create healthy relationship. It's be connected to yourself, to your feelings, to your needs, to be clear what you really want. And if you are disconnected, you can realize and you can realize and recognize this this red flags. Because
you become complicit in it, you know, by giving away your power consistently, by not speaking up, by not honoring your own feelings and needs, by putting them first, more or less exclusively, then you are making sure the relationship turns out that like that. If they weren't like that already, if you keep doing that, they're likely to get worse and be more like that.
Yeah, definitely. So really be aware what is happening with you, what you want to create in your relationship. Because me and Heather, we really stand for healthy relationship, equal relationship. And actually, in toxic relationships, there is always the domination. It can be like one dominate with aggression or criticism or punishments. And this can be also that more unrecognized domination, that like secret domination, yeah, that you stop talking. Or like you send messages through kids and other stuff of the passive domination, which is also very dangerous and also doesn't belong to a healthy relationship. And if you have this pattern maybe from your childhood and you want to work on it because you know that is like your pattern, you are willing to work on it. But the unhealthy person or toxic person doesn't want to do anything with that. Because they are not aware of the impact it might have on you. They don't bother because they only care about themselves. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, I was thinking a little bit more about the qualities in empaths, which make us a bit susceptible. And I think it's because we're so loving and caring and feeling for others, people, we might have a little bit of grandiosity that we can really rescue others. And if we're going into a relationship with somebody who's narcissistic and toxic, we might think, well, we're the one to heal them. I'm sure we can work through some of this terrible stuff that's happened to them. You know, their ex-wives are always out to get them. You know, that awful bank manager who's persecuting them for an unpaid loan. Or the law is after them. They've got it all wrong. We may believe all those stories and think, this poor person has had so much happen to them. How can I help? Whereas in fact, they've had all that happen to them because they behaved so badly, irresponsibly, negatively.
Yeah. And also sometimes they really lie. They are big liars and create a lot of stories which are not true. And they like to be victims to get the power. So if they know that you want, that they can actually feel that you can save them or that you want to have this rescue pattern within you, so they would play victim to really get you, you know. And always I think that it's also what they use as their like another trick. Like they, if they feel that they are losing you or that you realize them, they start to be victims. Or like, oh, poor me, if nobody likes me, I am happy that you like me, that you support me. And some, and of course they are so good to hook you in. Yeah, they really hook you and and it's so hard to leave these relationships because you are really hooked in, how we say it.
Yeah.
Because there is so big confusion between their great part and the horrible part, and we don't know what to do with that. Because when we want to leave them, they usually start to behave again very nicely. Yeah.
Yes, they are very seductive. They're very seductive. There's a phrase which is called narcissistic supply. Mm-hmm. And it's when you leave them, they feel the lack of the supply that you're giving them, which is for love and nourishment and adoration, which is what they crave, some sort of recognition of their grandeur, really, how important they are, which is obviously what's been lacking in their childhood. But by projecting that out onto you, they're never going to get it. They're never going to get it. You can't supply it.
And the thing is, you can't change them. They will not change. This is the thing. So many people try to change them and help them and save them and support them. But actually, what I heard from so many different people and leaders of this topic in the world, that it's not possible. They can't change, actually, in this lifetime, because they don't have self-reflection. They don't have the empathy. They actually... It's so strong habits they created to protect themselves that they can't really change it. And so many people tried, and it's really not possible. And I know have so many clients who want to be the first one who will change them or support them in their change. And there's always so much disappointment in that. Mm-hmm. What do you experience, Heather, with your clients? How do you see it?
Absolutely. If you feel, you know, when you're going into a relationship, I've seen this in my clients for sure. If you're going into a relationship with somebody that has great need, there's usually some drama in the background, either with exes or situations or immigration, you know, something where they really need you and you're the answer to their prayers and you're so wonderful. And then the envious attacks come in, just pulling you down, and because they can't afford to lose you, they want to really hold on to you.
Yeah, and also, they also idealize you. So when you actually don't fulfill their expectations, which is impossible to fulfill, they get so disappointed that they start to gaslighting you, punish you, and criticize you because, and you feel really bad and wrong because you want to be that person. But it's impossible because there is nothing good for them. Everything can be better. Everything should be even like much more better or different way or better way or in like for example, with the food, there is too much vegetable or not enough vegetable or a wrong combination of vegetable.
Yes, keeping you on the wrong foot.
Yes, yeah. Definitely.
Diminishing your confidence so you don't go away.
Yeah. This is the thing. And also sometimes when the kids are involved, it's again, they actually don't care so much about the impact of their behavior on kids. So it's again very hard to leave these people because they use the control and power over the kids, to get control over you. So yeah, if you realize that you are in toxic relationship, and even with any narcissist, it's always better to search for the support, help, because it's hard to hold it on yourself.
Yeah.
And it's so sometimes important to actually know what you face, who is in front of you, because I think so many people don't know that it can happen to them. And then, you know, it's like we feel powerless or like hopeless with that situation, because what to do now? Yeah. So seek for help and support. Me and our Heather can support you in this, in this topic, in this, like, in this toxic relationships.
And even if you've left before and gone back because of the power of this manipulation, you still can leave. You know, your friends may be tired of seeing you come and go, but if you can really resolve to leave, don't tell your partner that you're leaving. Just arrange it all beforehand, get the right support from the Women's Aid organization in the UK can help. There are lots of places that you can go that will really support you to find a secure and safe place to go, and really involve your friends and safe members of your family, if it's anything connected with your family, and leave.
Yeah, and sometimes we really need to build our self-confidence to do it and have really like some financial reserves or support. So it's important to be ready for this big step. And also you need really be brave and have this, like we have somebody who will support you to do it, and then build new life from the right beginning. And it's another topic probably, so today it was mostly about how to realize that you're in a toxic relationship, because so many people don't know that it even exists, that it's not normal to experience so much guilt or obligation or fear in the relationship, that it's not normal to be gaslighted or punished. And especially that it's not normal to experience violence.
Thank you, Eva. That's lovely. And watch out for our series. We're going to be doing quite a few in a row around healthy and unhealthy relationships. Thank you so much for listening. My website is www.heathergarbutt.com, and Eva's is
evaandreessen.com.
There we go.
So thank you for listening. Have a good day. Bye for now.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Revolutionize Your Love Life. I'd like to know what has been your biggest takeaway from this conversation. Do take a minute and share this with us and visit us on our Facebook page. You can connect with me personally on my email at heather@heathergarbutt.com. If you can think of someone who will benefit from listening to this podcast, please do share it with them. If you have any feedback on how I can improve it, please do reach out to me, as I'm always keen to learn more. Thank you so much again for listening, and we'll meet again on the next episode of Revolutionize Your Love Life.